greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the one that we sang about this morning, that gathers the lambs into his arms and he carries them safely. I think I've said before when I got up here that it was good for me to be here, but this morning I was sitting here and we sang that second song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And I know that song is sung at funerals. We often think of that. But this morning, that song was an encouragement to me. Because I don't think that Jesus waits to carry the lambs until he carries them to heaven. I believe that it's today. He's carrying us, the ones that grieve and struggle. I feel like I've been greatly challenged, and I was convicted about the way I was looking at life from the devotional this morning. And I feel like there has been fear in my life. This morning I had some communication that revealed that there's another young man struggling. These things bring fear to me as a leader in the church. But I finally must realize that Jesus cares much more for the church than what I do. And it's this past week, I have been thinking a lot about the church and about the things that we have been facing. My mind has went a lot of different ways. And I guess this morning I'd like to just look at a passage in Matthew chapter 18. And I want this to be an encouragement to us. The life of Jesus and what he did for us. And I'll use verse 3 as the text verse for our message this morning. Matthew 18, verse 3. This is Jesus' words, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." It's a simple truth that Jesus is giving here. It's a simple command, but yet it's hard for us as adults to become as little children like God wants us to be. And this morning I titled the message, Becoming as Little Children. And you know, we talked about that song we sang about Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Children are the ones that are carried. They are the ones that are vulnerable. And just yesterday, as we think about lambs, and I was working out in the barn. Some of the boys and I were, and there were some new lambs. This is the time of the year when we have lambs, and we have a gate that's spring-loaded, and when we go in, we don't latch it normally behind us, and there's one ewe we have that knows that. It knows how to butt the gate open and go out, and that happened, and there was a lamb that went out with it. And I wasn't paying attention, and the lamb went out the outside door, and next thing I knew, I got a call saying that there's a lamb in the backyard that the dogs were chewing on. And lambs are in a vulnerable place. And as children, as God's children, According to this world, we're in a vulnerable place. But I would like to hold the hope before us this morning that as long as we're in the fold, as long as we're in the pen, as long as we don't go out, it's a safe place. It's where God wants us to be. And this passage talks about that. And I'll read this passage. The first 14 verses of Matthew chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. And I'd like to maybe look at this in reverse a little bit. Take the end portion that we read there and look at that first especially verses 10 through verse 14. There's a few things here I want to notice. And when I've heard this passage read or preached on, the focus was on the lost sheep. But this morning, I want to consider the 99 that are in the fold. There are realities and there are promises for the 99 in this morning. And there are feelings, there are emotions, and there are realities that sheep in the fold face when one of their number is outside the fold lost. And I believe Satan would like to use any way he can to get a foot in the church and to discourage, to cause feelings, to cause emotions to rise up and get more lambs to run out of the fold. Satan is cunning. But there's a few things here that I found helpful to me. And this morning I want to share these things with you in the aspect of the safety within the fold, the 99. Those that are God's children, the church. I believe this morning we can say the fold is the church. The 99 are the saints within the church. The church is the reality of the church is a safeguard for God's people. Notice here, in verse 11, it says, For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Jesus is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We do care very deeply about situations. That is right, and we should care, and we do care. And this should be a comfort to us. This is not a relieving of responsibility on our part, but it's a defining of responsibility. It's not an excuse for me not taking my place, But it's an understanding what God's work is and what my part is in it. That it's Jesus' work to seek and to save the lost. Yes, we have responsibility in it. We need to reach out where we can. But we are not called to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I feel like we do care. That's the angle I'm approaching it from. We also need to remember that we were also outside of the fold. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Remember also, he says here, that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to seek the lost. In this picture, in this parable, we have the picture here of the shepherd leaving and going out to find the lost. In Luke's gospel, he says that he leaves them in the wilderness and goes to seek the lost. And in that picture, we get the feeling that they're somewhat left to fend for themselves. But I'd like to present this morning that in all of our scripture study, and when we discern the scripture, we need to take the whole scriptures. Because Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And at times maybe we can feel that God has forsaken us a little bit. God has not forsaken us. He cares. He's with us. Our great shepherd is everywhere present. And he cares about us. The earthly shepherds have earthly limitations. The great shepherd is not limited to time and space. Maybe we could refer to that wilderness as the world. Yes, we are in the world. And we know Jesus prayed. He said to pray, "Not take them out of the world, but thou would keep them from the evil that is in the world." That's what Jesus' desire is for us. Notice also here that the good shepherd will go to the remote and distant places to seek the lost. It says he goes to the mountains. And it's the places where we don't know how to go there. It's far beyond our ability, far beyond our comprehension. And it's his work. And I'd like to just read some verses in Ezekiel 34 that give a picture of a shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 through verse 16. Ezekiel 34, verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." We'll stop reading there. But the searching of the good shepherd is thorough. There is no place that is left out of his searching eye. We can rest in that. We can have confidence in that. Here in Matthew, also it talks about if he find the sheep. And often the finding isn't so much, we know that from our lives, finding isn't so much the inability of the good shepherd, rather it's the consent of the sheep. I believe that has been my experience. I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 10. A Coming back now to the thought of becoming as little children, and that thought of my personal life, the shepherd working in my life in personal areas, when I tend to wonder, I believe if we are honest, we can feel that there are areas in our life where we fail. We do have to be reminded of the shepherd's care. Mark chapter 10 and verse 14 and verse 15. Maybe begin reading at verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. This morning, I believe it's within us where we wish to become adults, and we wish to be mature. We wish to be able to function independently. And maybe as young people, we wish for the day when we don't have that childhood stigma over us anymore. But there's a pronounced, Jesus says there's a childlike way that even we should take heed to. In the first part of Matthew 18, he speaks about this as well, where Jesus instructs us to become as little children to enter the kingdom of God. And I'm not sure if I totally understand what all he is referring to here, but there's a few things I'd like for us to think about in the first few verses of Matthew 18. Notice he says here in verse 3, the text verse, except ye be converted. And I believe that is a turning around. It's a reversing. The word convert means to twist, to turn around. Maybe we could say, except you are living life in reverse from what the natural man desires, you cannot enter or you cannot be in the kingdom of God. Instead of a selfish life and pleasing self, we deny self and we live for the Lord Jesus. This thought of convert also goes with a thought of a penitent spirit. We have a penitent attitude. We realize that to be converted means choosing God's way through the course of life many times, not just once, but many times. We cannot become humble or useful in the fold unless we are converted. He also says in verse 3 that, and become as little children. And I'd like to explore this thought a little bit, and I'd be interested if there's more thoughts you have on this. But Jesus is not saying here to act immature as children do. But there is something in children he desires for us to be humble enough to be like. If children are generally free of ambition, they're free of pride and haughtiness. They're humble and teachable. They forgive easily, and they proceed without malice. When the Apostle John wrote his epistle, he spoke a few times of little children. And it's the same thought there that Jesus is speaking of here, of that attitude. It's not necessarily small of stature or young in age, but rather it's that attitude that the Apostle John was writing to those. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Or he's saying the humble ones, the teachable ones, it is the last time. Well, how shall we be like children, and how shall we not be like children? There's a few things I'd like to consider. Void of malice. I already talked about this, but in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, Paul writes, he says, Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. He's talking about malice. How quick to forgive and to go on and trust. That's how we should be. I've been amazed at children that can, one can hit another and become upset, and when you settle that thing, they can continue on in their play with like nothing has ever happened. And I think that's something I can learn from. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, another way we should be like children. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, the cravings of my life, it should be the desire of the sincere milk of the word, the desire of the scriptures, the Holy Bible. Is that an appetite? Do you miss reading the Bible if you skip it? Have you ever been late for work because you were reading your Bible? Those are things that when we desire something, we want it. We do what it takes to get it. Another area where we should be like children, and I talked about this one also, is humility. In verse 4, whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is essential to Christianity. Well, how should we be not like children? Well, we think of that verse there in 1 Corinthians 14:20. The Apostle Paul says that in understanding we should be men. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding, but in understanding be men. Be mature enough to understand the Scriptures and to search the Scriptures because of the desire that we have of the Scriptures. In maturity, be men. Be able to think through issues in a mature way. Another way we should not be like children is in doctrinal instability. Ephesians 4, verse 14 through 15 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we have to be mature in our doctrinal understanding. We need to digest the Word of God and be sound doctrinally. And maybe this morning doctrine to you is a frustrating word. But we need to understand what the Scripture teaches and stand upon it. And so we are not carried about with every doctrine that comes along. I'd like to move down now to the section, verse 7. He talks here of offenses and offending little ones. And the thought here to offend means to entrap or to trip, to stumble or to entice. And again, I thought of that illustration of that ewe that we were working with yesterday. The reason she went out of the pen was selfishness, because she wanted to go out where there was fresh hay and eat, never minding that there were some lambs that went out with her. And I had to think about how many times my selfishness has caused an offense to someone else. It has caused someone else to struggle. It has caused someone else to follow in my footsteps because of my example. The question for me is, how can I offend those that have humbled themselves and been converted and entered into the kingdom of Christ? Can we offend the tender conscience? Can we bolster the pride of the humble? Can we scoff the personal applications of a sincere, humble heart he makes in relations to pride? At what point am I offending? Do I subconsciously squelch the conscience of another so his radical doctrine doesn't catch flame in my heart? Verse 10 says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. And he goes on to give some instruction here. And he says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. This is Jesus' teaching regarding offenses of the small faith in the believers. And as I pondered this teaching, I wondered, do I really believe what Jesus is saying? I cannot remember anyone who has become self-crippled because they wanted to avoid a sin in their life. I don't know, maybe there has been some that have done that. They have become self-crippled or they have become maimed because of a besetting sin in their life. It was a personal choice to do that. I'm not sure what all Jesus meant by this. But I do know that he gave this teaching for a reason. But do I take personal responsibility for where my desires take me? Do I take that personal? Am I willing to open up my life? And am I willing to cut off my eye and cut off my hand or cut off my foot for the purifying of the heart? Am I willing to become self-crippled to be able to enter into the kingdom of God? And if I know I have a problem listening to wrong music, what am I willing to cripple? If I have a problem reading wrong books, what am I willing to cripple? If I know that I have a pride issue in my life and thinking too much of myself, what am I willing to cripple? Am I willing to become maimed? It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. It's better this morning to live life limping. It's better to live life crippled than to have a full functioning body to be cast away eternally. And this morning it's pretty hard to swagger with a limp. I think there of the story of Joseph. That has come to my mind throughout this. How he that night was wrestling with the angel. And he was wrestling there that night. And he prevailed. And I don't know what that all means, that he prevailed with the angel there that night. But he had an encounter with God. And the angel put his thigh out of joint. And from that day forward, as I understand it, he walked with a halt or with a limp. And somehow this morning we need to meet God. And we need to make sure we become as little children. That we reach out to our Heavenly Father and let Him touch our thigh, put a limp in us, in some way cripple us for our spiritual good. We sing sometimes, pride of will and lust of station, Lord, I would from all be free. And the only honor seeking, Lord, to be of use to thee. You know, sometimes the usefulest people, the people that are the most useful, are those that walk with a limp and those that are crippled. Am I receiving the kingdom of God as a little child? Am I satisfied? Am I nourished in the fold, in the church? Am I satisfied? Is that where my is that where I am content as I feed upon the Word of God? Am I a child of God? I'd like to read yet in Romans chapter 8. As we think this of this thing of becoming as little children, we subject ourselves to the Father's chastening in our life. And we allow Him to chasten us. I believe Hebrews talks about that. But it's for our good. I'd like to read Romans 8, beginning at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We'll stop reading there, but notice the connection of out of bondage and becoming the children of God. And as Jesus said, we have to become as little children. We have to be humble enough. We have to reach out and acknowledge that we have needs in our life, that we must rely on God. And children are not embarrassed. They're not ashamed to admit that they have needs. I'm not that way all the time. And we must become as little children, like Jesus said here. This morning, I trust that we can be encouraged in our faith, that we can walk close to Him, because we have a Heavenly Father that is waiting to reach out. And He is wanting to take us into His arms and carry us. Let's kneel together for prayer.